Jewish calendar. So things are just moving right along.
Blog Talk Radio. if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what I'm thinking of is some of those things, like, they just kind of come from, I mean, some of the fruit just comes from abiding in Christ and really just focusing and putting your affections on him. And really, it's not that hard of a thing to do, because he starts just manifesting itself in different ways. I think it kind of starts out like you getting more and more sensitive to his voice and stuff like that. But really, when you think about the anointing, and it says, without abiding in him, you know, you can bear no fruit. And he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And this is like everybody that gets a hold of Jesus, that takes hold of what he's already done. He's already provided the way of salvation. He's already provided the way to have open communication with him, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, you know, all those things. And that's really why I wanted to talk about it, was because when you realize who you are and what you have in Christ and the ability that's in you, and from this scripture right here, it's saying, if you abide in me, and I will abide in you. So it's like a responsibility of yours to really fix yourself on the Lord. But I'm telling you, it's not that hard to do. He wins your heart, you know. It's like, and when you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, it's a matter of just siding with the nature that he's put in you, and that eternal life that he's put in you, that's in the very depths of your core and your being. But the anointing, to anoint somebody, means to rub in and to, like, permeate, I guess. I mean, like, what's happening when you abide in Christ and you take time to read his word and you take time to talk to him and just behold his presence and stuff like that? The Father's actually, I mean, just absolutely saturating you with who he is, you know, and because of that, it's like all of creation starts to recognize you as being a child of God. And when that stuff starts happening, you start realizing the favor that's on your life as being an heir to God. And it's like, Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's like, the way you do that is the way you bear the fruits, the way you walk in love. All that stuff is sourced in abiding in him, you know. And I think we make it out a lot of times to be harder than it is. But he says he'll take the simple and the foolish things and confound the wise. And I think this is just one of those things where you know, I guess the philosophers and all the intellectual minds have a hard time at getting a hold of it, because it's such a fate thing. And it's really way easier than we make it out to be.
Amen.
You want, go ahead, Robert, and give us your take on it.
Well, you know, as both of you guys just spoke, I heard the Holy Spirit say, John chapter 5, verse 19, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. What's happening here? Jesus was a human being. He was a human man. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When we recognize that Jesus was human, that he was God in the flesh, yes, but he was Son of Man. And he was human filled with Father's presence and fire. That's how he was able to see what Father was doing. That's how he was able to communicate and hear the voice of Father so clearly, because the Holy Spirit that baptized him that day when he came up out of that water empowered him to be able to go about doing good, healing all, setting captives free who was oppressed of the devil. He himself said over in Luke chapter 4, and it's written in Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, the word Christ means anointed one. It's the Greek way of saying anointed one, which is the equivalent way of saying Messiah in Hebrew. It means the anointed man of God. Jesus was the anointed man of God who didn't do these things that we know he did by himself. He himself said the Son can do nothing, but it was by the Holy Spirit that empowered him to do the things he did as an example to you and I of what we are capable of doing. Just like you just said, Chris, this stuff isn't hard. Nothing's impossible to God. It's not hard. If we love God the way Jesus loved the Father, if we love the Father the same way, and we are baptized in his Holy Spirit, then we too are anointed by God to do the same things, the same works that Jesus did. And he said over in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with my Father. And what he's telling us there, the same anointed Spirit, the same anointing that was upon his life by the Holy Ghost, is the same anointing that we today are going to be able to do the same works and greater, because it's the same Spirit of the Father in us that was in him. Jesus said in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may, hear that word is, abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's abiding. The Holy Spirit abides in the born-again believer. From just receiving Christ, we have a piece of his Spirit in us. But once we receive that baptism, he is the governor between the kingdom of heaven and this physical earth. And he is the one that is empowering us to do the signs and the wonders, empowering us to be able to hear Father speak and to see the things that he does, so that we can go out and demonstrate his awesome kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
I know one of the awesome things, even my own personal experience with Christ living in me, as he does all of y'all, everybody has their own personal experience with God, because ain't one experience the same. They're all different. I mean, he knows us all differently, and we all experience different things. But I know, you know, with the Lord living inside you, when your trouble gets so hard in your life, I mean, I don't know whether it's stress, I don't know whether it's drama, whatever has popped up in your life, that you're really, really dealing with something. I don't know, but myself, I experienced the Lord bringing peace to me. It's like they say, he gives no more than what you can handle. Now, when more is coming than you can handle, I could feel him bringing peace to my mind, bringing peace to my body, and I could feel the peace coming over me and give me that break that we need. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have the peace that passes all human understandings. But the Lord gives you the peace to pass all human understandings. That's what the Lord living with inside you. And that's the difference. When you're filled with the Spirit, as y'all were both was talking about, when you're filled with the Spirit and you combine, you're abiding with him, he helps you. He helps guide you. He helps you during the troubled times. And it's just like, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, like when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, he knew this was coming on him. The Father was with him there. He had angels there actually sitting there and actually ministering to him right at that time. So even in your hard times, He will be there ministering to you. When your spirit filled and the Holy Spirit's living in you, he will be right there ministering to you. Because I know there's a lot of people out there these days that's working so many jobs. They got so many things going on. I don't know whether carpooling 20 kids here and there. And I mean, they got stressful life. Or sometimes that they don't know how they're going to deal with it all because they got so many things. They're juggling too many things at one time. And you just need that break. And the Lord, when you're a Christian and you're spirit-filled and the Lord is living inside you, he gives you that break. He gives you that peace you need there at the split minute. He's there for you. I mean, when you're carpooling, ain't nobody in the car. You've already dropped the kids off. You have that little time to spend with the Lord, and you're talking to the Lord. And he can communicate back to you. He can bring his peace to you. He's there. He's there all the time. I mean, that there's the peace that passes all understanding. But me, myself, when I'm going through them times, I can feel the Lord communicating with me. He's bringing that peace when it gets to a point where I can't really, really deal with that. And that's one peace that Christians have. I mean, he's there. When you're in trouble, he's there. And I'm going to tell you, there's no shrink that can be there like the Lord can be there in your troubled times. I'm telling you. The Lord passes all the shrinks. I'm telling you. He can be there when you need him. And that's one thing that, you know, abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in you, he's there. He's there at all times, not day, 24/7. He's always there with you. When you least expect it, he's there listening to you, counseling you, and a lot of times being quiet and just listening to you. And I could really see if one of us was actually hanging out with a person all day long and what we would be saying to them. Lord knows what we'd be saying to them. But the Lord is being quiet and listening to your problems and loving you at the same time. And that's what's the unique thing with Christ living with inside you. He's there to listen. He's there to counsel you when it's needed. But, I mean, it's an awesome love. I mean, a lot of times us Christians can take it for granted. There's a lot of Christians that take this for granted. They ignore him. They don't want to have nothing to do with him because, you know, they don't really understand him. But when you build this communication and that relationship, that's when the door is open and you see that peacemaker bringing that peace of all understandings to you and revealed himself to you.
I think if you develop a consistency, as I go on reading this chapter 15, John 15, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So it's cool because it's like he's revealing secrets here, you know, by being just consistent with him and just constantly inquiring of him, constantly being in relationship with him. And I really believe that, like, in the past, I can see some of the fruit of this stuff, of what he's saying. Like, when I take time to really be in his presence and stuff like that, I'm so much more sensitive. It's like It's like a priming a pump, you know. If you get away from it a little while, then you have to reprime that pump to get it juiced up again sometimes, you know. I mean, that's the way it seems to me, some, you know. And I'm not saying that he's not there, because he is. And there's times where the Lord wants to do something and he's going to do it, you know, and whether you've been in his presence or not, he'll use you if you're available to him, you know. But it's so much easier to be sensitive to him and to know what he's doing, because like Robert was just saying, those things I see my Father doing, I also do. And Jesus said the same thing about those things I hear my Father say, I say that, you know. It's like he just ministered the love of the Father. And I think that it's just a really good thing, because if you go on reading this, it's about like the love, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And it starts talking about the love. Well, I think that if you take time and you really engage the Lord, then the love's just going to like overflow anyway, because you're going to do it out of just the nature of God in you and the overflow of God in you. And I mean, because it can be self-righteousness, and you can have like just a works mentality about it, and like if your motives like or stuff like that, then it's like, I mean, he'll honor that all he can, but it's like so much more real. People recognize it so much more real when you're being genuine with them. They know it, they sense it, you know. And when you're doing it out of a like an obligation type heart or something like that. And the cool thing about this is as you abide in him, it's like the illumination of the Lord comes within you, and he starts revealing things that need tending and mending, you know. And I think you can get into a place in his presence where that stuff will be like consumed by his refining fire. And that refining fire will almost like burn it out of your heart to the point that it's not even an issue no more because of his grace and his ability within you. And just, I mean, it's kind of weird. He does it in such a way, though, that you'll continue to hunger and eagerly desire him. You know, he does it. And even when he begins to reveal revelation and the mysteries and the counsels of the Lord, you know, yeah. That's pretty cool. I think about that. I keep thinking about this chapter a lot. It's Jeremiah 23, where it talks about like some false prophecy and stuff like that. And one of the things that he reveals in there is that those false prophets got away from the counsel, the spirit of counsel in the Lord. That's one of the seven spirits of God that, you know, are encapsulated by Holy Spirit, I guess, you know, but or referred to. But it's interesting, man, because his counsel is in his presence. It's in that relationship. It's taking time to abide in him, you know. And it's twofold, though, because when you remain in him, his faithfulness, I mean, he's faithful. He'll never leave you or forsake you, but he will step back at your will. When your will wants to do whatever you want to do, if you want to grow in the Lord, he's going to honor that, and he's going to water your seed. But your will, I mean, you're in control of who you are. God doesn't want a bunch of robots that, you know, just automatically love him, automatically make things happen. I mean, I believe why he did the things the way he did was because he wanted a people that loved him because of who he was. And when you realize that he is absolutely love and his absolute best interest for you, I mean, it makes you want to come after him. It really does.
Amen. If I can say something right there to go right along with what you've been saying, Chris, Matthew 13:11, Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. He said this right after doing that greatest sermon ever, which was the sower sows the word. You know, the relationship where the mysteries are revealed to you, that's a person who is very sensitive to his Holy Spirit, able to hear his voice. Their hearing is not dull, and their hearts have not waxed gross, which is to say they have not become hardened in their hearts and insensitive towards the things of God. Because of a person being in such a state, what they hear will be taken from them. Jesus just said it. He said, the sower sows the word, and immediately when it fell on the wayside ground, the fowls of the air came and stole it. Well, that's the devil stealing the word from those who are hardened in their hearts or dull in their hearing and have closed their eyes towards God and aren't seeing things the way that he wants them seen. As I read a little bit ago, John chapter 5, Jesus said he did the things that he saw the Father do. He was sensitive in his heart He listened to the Holy Spirit. He was able to see the Father because of it. Jesus went up on that mountain and fasted. We call him the Son of God. Well, the Son of God was also the Son of Man. And he went up on that mountain and he fasted to get control over himself, just like we have to do. We have to watch things that are going on in our lives and make sure that they're lining up with the plan and will of God. And that's what Jesus did. And because he did, he came down off of that mountain so on fire because self was under control. Self wasn't getting in the way. He was hearing the voice of the Father. He could hear the Father say, I want you to go lay hands on this one. They're going to receive their sight. And he'd go and do it. He'd hear the Father say, and he'd see the Father doing something because the Word of God by the Spirit of God reveals to us through our spiritual ability to see things as the Father sees them. He was able to see the Father working. His kingdom, what was happening in heaven, was happening on earth through his life, anointed, the Holy Spirit abiding in him. And that's what he has empowered us to be able to do. The moment we accept him, we open up our lives and position ourselves to receive the same Holy Spirit, the same anointing, and the same ability to walk out the life that Father has called us to, which is to demonstrate his kingdom as sons of God. And that's going to be demonstrated in our love for him. He wants to reveal the mystery. He wants you to know everything that there is to know about him and about the kingdom in which he lives. And he wants that kingdom manifesting here in our lives on the earth. And it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's ministry to make sure that that happens in our lives. But we have to be sensitive. We have to be hungry. We have to thirst for righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. Because, see, Father's way is the right way. There is no other right way. There is no other righteous. Let God be true and every man a lie. Father has laid the plan out for us. And if we get a hold of the mystery of that, then the revelation is going to produce some 30, some 60, 100, up to 100-fold return in our lives because we're not wax cold in our hearts, because we're not blind, closing our eyes to him, and because we're not dull in our hearing, but we are sensitive to hear his voice. Praise the Lord, because you can. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, I was just thinking about this. I was meditating on this, or I guess it was earlier yesterday or something. And anyway, I was thinking about how the Holy Ghost has made the Father and Jesus abode in our heart, you know, mm-hmm. or made them to abide in our hearts through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and stuff and being born again. But anyway, what I was thinking of is the very God that created everything that there is. Mm-hmm. He loves you so much to put his throne inside of your heart, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, and it's wild because, you know, the Bible talks about, like, a will within a will. And it's kind of wild to see, like, God and you being a part of his body and his ability and what he's doing on the earth. It's just amazing to me and such an honor that he chose you, that he chose me to be a part of what he wants to do. You know, and it's like, it's wild when you start thinking about that will within a will and, wow, God, if I could only get a hold of the fact that you're in me, that your ability is in me, that you're uh-huh. wanting to manifest and do great and mighty things. It said that you will do mighty exploits, right?
Uh-huh. And yeah.
It's amazing to really just meditate on some of that stuff. Because the more that you understand this word and who you are in Christ and what you can do and your authority, and that's when you start really really like, and your prayer starts becoming, God, what can I do for you, you know, mm-hmm. instead of God, can you do this for me, you know, or can you do that for me? It's like, God, what can I do for you? Because his ability and his authority is behind you and it's backing you. And it says you'll cast out demons, you know, mm-hmm. in my name. And it's like the police officers that can stop a whole line of traffic by holding up their hand. It's that authority that's behind them. They're coming in the name of the law of North Carolina or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they got all the authority. And if you violate it, consequences happen, you know? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's cool to think about that stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome to walk in the shoes of Christ and let him, you know, live through you. And that's one of the main things that us Christians are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing the work of Jesus Christ and, you know, living the life that he did. And as Robert was talking about earlier, he had to be a man. He had to walk this earth as a man where we could see how a man would walk in the type of ability that he had. If he would walk as God himself fully and had all the powers around him at all times, he would, you know, we couldn't do that. We couldn't be the tremendous God. He had to come down as a man, as a humble man, and the Holy Spirit had to be poured in him as it would to us, where we could see what we could do with God living inside of us. And we could mm-hmm. you know, have a example to walk our everyday life out like that. And mm-hmm. that's what a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand that Jesus was showing us, like everybody knows, he was an example for us to follow. If he was so extreme, we couldn't follow him. It would be impossible to say, well, that's something only Jesus could do. But no, he was showing us by example that's something we can do, and he said we could even do more when he ascends to the Father. So, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, if you get into the Gospels and read what he was teaching and let what he's teaching the disciples teach you too, then you start mm-hmm. seeing these things, and the Holy Spirit starts mm-hmm. feeding these things to you. Because I was reading, and I've been in the reading in the book for a while, and Derek Prince, one of Derek Prince's books, and he's talking about one of the main things to do is read what he taught the disciples. Because what he mm-hmm. taught the disciples, he told the disciples to go teach exactly what he taught them. And that's what he taught them, was to walk in his ways, walk how he walked, do the things that he did. If we couldn't do what he did, he wouldn't taught them that. He taught
that's
them
right.
what they could do. And that's
right.
what we can do. We're supposed to be doing the same thing, not walking in doctrine, not walking in, you know, all these different doctrines and all these specific mm-hmm. sayings the church is telling you. We're supposed to be doing exactly what Jesus Christ himself said for his disciples to do in the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take that and do exactly what he said, we'll start start reflecting him. We'll start acting like him. The Holy Spirit will start refining us the way you know that the disciples had to go through it. The disciples had to be refined too by the Holy Spirit. They didn't come perfect. They had all types
That's
of situations.
Right.
I mean, if you would go get a bunch of sailors off the boat and try to teach him to walk like Jesus, wouldn't that be hard for a while?
mm-hmm.
I mean, you just think how sailors live. Some of them have rough lives, and they have to be refined mm-hmm. to get to that point. That's like everyday people. When we become a Christian, we have to be refined down by the fire of the Holy Spirit to get us to that point, to
yeah.
teach us, to take us to that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not done in one day. It's a refining part. It's like Chris was saying a while ago, that's what the Lord is showing you, some of your problems, some of your issues. He's going to show you things in your mind. He's going to show you things even through other people. He'll bring people into your life that has the same situation, try to put it in your face, hey, you've got something going on there too, buddy, you know, that type of thing. And, I mean, you can see that. You can see him working on you constantly. But once you get, you know, another thing, I think like Chris was saying, it's once you get sensitive to this, you get sensitive to what he's teaching you, as sensitive to, you know, some of the people around you, you start learning. You start learning, I don't want to be around this. I don't want to talk about this. You get sensitive because you're in his presence. You know, his presence makes you sensitive to negative things, to bad things. You don't want to be around it. It's like, you know, some TV shows you used to watch, you can't stand to watch them anymore. Some of the people, you know, in the break room that's cussing and going on, you can't stand to be in there anymore. You want to walk out or tell them to hush. Or, you know, there are certain things you just don't want to be around it anymore because your sensitivity from being in the presence of the Lord, reading the Word of God, listening to what the Lord's telling you, you start refining things. You start refining your life. You start refining what you're being around. And I'm telling you, you'll become a different person. And I'm going to tell you that some of the friends that was around you before won't want to be around you because, number one, they'll think you're boring. You know, and they'll start dropping off. But the thing of it is, the Lord will bring better friends into your life. He's going to make you friendless. He's going to bring more friends into your life that is living, you know, living for him. It's living to have a better life, a better lifestyle. And that's mm-hmm. the thing, you know, you want people in your life. It's going to help you in your Christian walk, not going to pull you out of your Christian walk. And that's what he'll do. He'll bring friends in to start refining it. Go ahead, man.
I think really what causes the friends and stuff to be shaken is the fact that they're in bondage and stuff like that, and they have obscure views on God and who God is. And I mean, a lot of people think that he's just out to smite them, to keep them from having fun. I'm going to tell you what, man, some of the best times, the most glorious and fulfilling moment in my life have been in the secret place. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwells in the secret place or abides in the secret place of the Most High. It's mm-hmm. a promise that if you figure out how to abide in him and to give him room in your life and make room for him, it's a promise that he'll take you to where you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Because mm-hmm. in God there's not even a shadow of turning. That shadow is coming off of you, man, not off of God. Because what it's saying is that in everything you do, that you're going to carry his presence, and it's going to bring so much fulfillment and blessing. I mean, Deuteronomy 28 says you'll be blessed when you come and blessed when you go. And everything mm-hmm. really that you put your hand to, there's a whole list of all that the fruit of your womb, even your children will be blessed in generations. It's a promise of his favor coming on your life. And the wild thing is the enemy has no authority over you. Matter of fact, I heard this person that was messing with witchcraft and stuff like that, talking about like how they could manipulate and use witchcraft to have authority over other people. But you know what? They said that they had no authority over a Christian's life because they come under that refuge of God and that shelter and that fortress, and mm-hmm. they come under the shield and the buckler, the God being their shield and buckler and protection, you know. And not only mm-hmm. that, but God, you enter into that place where you're spending time with them, and you you understand the counsels of the Lord. You understand them. It's just growing in them. You learn the language of the Spirit of God. And it's like you begin to get so sensitive to him that you pick up on when he's talking to you. Like, I remember one time I got employee of the year, and the Lord told me, they called us and lined us up, and the Lord told me that you're going to get employee of the year. Well, at the time, I was like, God, are you kidding me? And I was thinking that it might be me thinking, you know, and I was like, but I felt his presence vibrating in me, this electricity just vibrating real, real softly inside of me. And I was thinking he was going to have me minister to somebody, because sometimes when that happens to me, he's wanting to do something. But at that moment, we only had 30 seconds, because he lined up all the employees of the year, which was about 20, 24 because there's 12 months and there was two Employee of the Year. And anyway, he told me that. And then they called me out, like, about 5 minutes later. We're in the room before the whole council, the whole board of the, communities all over the nation or whatever, this region. Like, they have a board of directors in there, and they called me out. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is awesome. But it was so cool, man, because I experienced all of that with the Lord talking to me. And that whole day I was just like, the coolest thing about it, I could care less if I got Employee of the Year or not, but the cool thing about it was I experienced all of that. It was like a high point in my life, and the Lord was like excited for me. You know, it was wild. But that's one of those moments that you just, I don't know, man, it's just amazing. It's like I'll just never forget that, you know, and I long for him communicating like that. It's so cool.
Amen. Amen. Back in May 24th, 2013, in his presence, how do you act when you're in the presence of God? Is it a time of peace for you, or do you get excited? Being in Father's presence is designed to bless us and to give us a fulfilling experience of spirit, soul, and body. The presence of God is powerful and can cause us to walk on water in the midst of a storm, unaltered by the storm's effects. When we stay focused on putting God first in our lives, then the Holy Spirit leads us and flows His power through us like an open faucet. We will find ourselves living righteous without effort simply because our priorities are in order. We must allow love to be our umbrella and live to demonstrate its all-consuming, unconditional power through our lives. The Holy Spirit will keep us from falling if we allow Him to. Father just wants a relationship, requires our dependency upon Him. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome, God. This is a very good knot. Very good knot. And we really, really, really pulled this out tonight and really got into detail. And we tried to put this in people's lives where they can understand it, and where they can live off of it. And that's what it's all about. But what I was want to get into, I was wanting to also talk about the conference that's coming up in July. I like to keep on advertising a little bit. It's called the Healing Light Conference. It's going to be Saturday, July the 11th. It's going to be held at 5 o'clock that day. Robert is going to be one of the guest speakers. Co-host Robert and co-host Reverend Chuck McDonald, he's going to be there. I guess Heath Adams is going to be there. Reverend Jacob Phillips. And yours truly is going to be here. And it's going to be a nice day to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to be talking about how the Lord's been working in our lives and just be talking about different things that the Holy Spirit puts into us to really talk. We're going to actually going to be having healing lines. Anybody that needs a healing, needs a prayer, just come on up. We'll be praying for people. But we are expecting things to happen during the conference. We're expecting the Lord to touch people while you're listening, while you're sitting there. The Holy Spirit's going to touch you there. We're also going to ask people to search for anything that's going on with them, see if it's gone, just let us know. We're going to have people to be taking testimonies of what has been going on during the conference. You know, if anybody's been healed, you know, if they felt anything just go away from them, if any depression's left, anything like that. We're going to have people taking testimonies. And we're really expecting the Lord to touch strong that day. We're also going to have a live worship band. It's going to be by Robert and Erica Jordan. And they're out of Asheville, North Carolina, and they're going to be coming down singing for us. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. I'm really telling everybody just to come on down and check it out.
Amen. And, amen. Stan, can I say something right there? While you were just talking, I heard the Holy Spirit say that there's going to be times during that ministry that we'll be preaching the gospel, and people are going to be getting healed just from listening to the word of God preached. So I'm coming. I'm going expecting a mighty move of God, because the Holy Spirit can't lie. He only says what the Father says, and that's what we then have to say. And because we're saying it, we're expecting it. We know that God is going to move mightily in our midst. So everybody who's hearing this announcement, please come and be a part of the mighty move of God that we are about to have in Hickory, North Carolina on July the 11th. Correct, Stan?
Correct. 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, July the 11th. Come and be a part of what God is about to do. We're in the last day move of God, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to move greater and mightier in the body of Christ than he has ever moved. There is going to be a greater outpouring and manifestation and demonstrations and visitations this year. So come expecting mighty things to happen in your lives. Amen.
Amen. And one of the reasons why I say we expecting things is because back in the middle of the year, the Lord really revealed to me, he kept on having me watching Catherine Coleman all the time. It was that, and he's like, you're going to have a ministry that's going to come out like that. So if you really read Catherine Coleman's ministry, all the miracles happened in the audience, hardly ever any hands-on experience. It was more in the audience. And the Lord is wanting to bless this ministry with that, with things happening in the audience. Things happen to people while they're listening to our show, the Lord's going to be touching you. Anytime you're listening to this show on the radio, be expecting something. Put your hands on your stomach, whatever it is. While you're listening to us preach on this show, just put your hands there during the show and see what the Lord will do for you. Because I'm going to tell you, people, I can't tell you how many times, even off. It's just funny. Even my tape recording has been healing people, guys. I mean, I've got traces where people say, hey, I got healed by your tape recording on your phone. So just think what he's doing with this radio show, what he's doing to people through his radio show. It's transforming people. Our voices, the gospel we're preaching is transforming people. So I'm telling you, I mean, this is going to happen. I mean, we've not did a conference before. But it's just going to blow my mind what's going to happen when it comes together and the Lord opens up his doors there. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome, and just come expecting. Just ask the Lord, you know, just say, Lord, I'm expecting my legs to be healed. Lord, I'm expecting that. And I'm telling you, you ain't going to leave disappointed at all, I'm telling you.
But, amen.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I just wanted to read this scripture too. That it's a 24/7 scripture. It's Jeremiah 24/7, and I like those scriptures because there's one in Psalms that says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and it's like he wants you to be that gate of bringing heaven to earth all the time. So this is another one. It's Jeremiah 24/7. It says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And really, I think that's what tonight was about, is really just focusing with your whole heart. And, you know, my dad and people like that, they would say, if you're going to do something, you ought to do it with your whole heart. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with your whole heart. So I just want to say a little prayer right now. Father,
go ahead, man.
Lift up everybody right now that hears this, us, all of us, Lord, that you just draw us and you just like stir our hearts and stir the hearts of every listener and everybody that this word hits, Lord, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit just penetrates them and just draws them with your miraculous love, Lord. I pray that you just absolutely overwhelm them with your goodness, Lord. Just fill them with that anointing of joy and love. And, Lord, just really bless them. Just really bless them in a way that they know that it's you. And it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, Lord. So just pour out your goodness on them, Lord. And I pray that they partake of the rivers of your pleasure, because in you there is fullness of joy and there's fullness of pleasure, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe that we can partake of those that heavenly goodness right now, on the earth, and bring it to the earth, and be an overflow of that into dark places. Lord, so thank you for your grace and your life and your light and your encouragement and your wisdom and your knowledge and just your counsel and just knowing you. It's just really awesome and such a wonderful, the greatest honor ever. And I praise you and give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything that the Father does is delicious. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. I like to say, anybody that's not accepted the Lord, I like you to say a little prayer with me if you've not accepted the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you in my heart.
I accept you in my heart.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you rose again on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
And I hand all my sins and all my trespasses to you.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
At this time, folks, I want you to put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you in my heart for eternity.
Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the family. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. You'll never be the same in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is awesome. That is awesome. Do I have a minute? I want to share something. One of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me this weekend about the kingdom, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Leaven there means like yeast. When it is put into the three measures of flour, it later consumes the dough, correct? The kingdom, let the kingdom consume you like yeast. Let you overflow and show forth the glory of the living God, because his kingdom is in you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. The Lord has been talking to me in the last couple of days about events for this show. We do have the Healing Light Conference like we advertised a while ago, but there's going to be another one that's going to be added to the mix, and it's just in the works, thinking about it. I think Robert Solomon I've talked to about it, but the Lord is wanting us to do a baptism event. All the people in the area, all the people that's listening, it's never been water baptized. We're going to have an event for this. We're going to let you all sign up, and you're going to do a water baptism. And you will get certificates from your baptism. But that is something that's coming up, and we got to get into the works and put it together. But that is something to be expecting in the future. So it's something I'm excited about and really looking forward to. But thank you, everybody, for listening to our show and listening Saturday at 9 o'clock. God bless every one of y'all.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Truth was seen, revealed this mystery. The crown that showed no dignity he wore, and the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace. But I'll